this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to preach to you. Here's the title, Brother Danny. Bethel. And I know the name of our church is Bethel. But I'm going to preach about Bethel, house of God. And Joe, that's what Bethel means, house of God. Just like Bethlehem means house of bread. I think it's Bethlehem is bread, I think, if I remember right. And because Jesus was the bread of life. He was born in Bethlehem, amen? But Bethel, house of God. And good to see each one of you. It's good to see our crowd coming back up. We need to continue to go forward, amen? And I'm going to, next few weeks, I'll get with our staff. I'm going to be working on, I'm going to pull out some stuff from my old files, and I'm going to work up a good campaign for Sunday school. And got some thoughts and ideas for our church, and excited about doing something big for God. Amen? Yeah. And I didn't get to build in 2006, but I want you to know, God just fired my dream even more while I was in Naples to come back and build in 2007. Amen? So, did preacher lose his dream? No. I lost a couple big fish, but I didn't lose the dream for the building. Amen? I'll probably, no doubt, bring a message someday about the one that got away. I've been kicking that around. I had one that we never got up to. I couldn't get him to the top. And when I got within just a few feet of me, but he stayed on the bottom. My pole was like this. He bit the line, broke the line, never saw him. The one that got away. I've been kicking that around. I wonder how many, what he could have been. Think about it. I won't preach on it. I wonder how many people we were supposed to be fishermen for God. I wonder if those ones that we bring them almost in, but we lose them right at the end. Wonder what they could have been. So I thought, think about it. I'll probably bring a message within the next few weeks about it, because it rattled around in my brain. Okay. I just gave you a preview. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Glad you're here. Good to see every one of you. Did I tell you I loved you yet today? I love you, Bethel. I miss you. I had fun. We had a great time. Vacations. And some of you snowbirds know Florida is definitely a great place to live. It's warm every day. Every day the sun rises, and every day it's warm. it is nice. But one day, Jesus will come, and the sun will always be out. Amen. He will be the light. Amen? The S-O-N. All righty. I'm going to talk to you about Bethel this morning, give you a few thoughts. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. Jacob went from Beersheba towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. Are you with me in Genesis 28 verse 11? Sure. Say amen if you are.
Amen.
And tarried there. By the way, when you amen, I preach quicker.
Amen.
I thought that'd get you going. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Because the sun was set. You remember Jesus said, night cometh when no man can work. And he took of the stones of that place and put them up for his pillows and laid down in a place to sleep. And he dreamed. By the way, every one of you ought to have a dream. The saddest person in the world is the person that has no reason to get up for. If you have no reason to get up for in the morning, you need a dream. Amen? And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee where I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Don't tell me the Jewish people are a curse. The Jewish people are a blessing. Amen. Behold, I am with thee. Aren't you glad he is with us? And I will keep thee in all places. I'm glad we're kept by the power of God, not by our own power. Whether thou goest and will bring me again in this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of the sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. You know why it was the gate of heaven? Remember when he read earlier in verse 12 and 13? He saw the Lord at the top. Jesus was the door. He's the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Amen. Notice, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he put for his pillows and set it for a pillar. And watch, and he poured oil upon the top of it, upon those rocks, upon the rock. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God be with me and will keep me in the way, I will go and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, thank God for this cornerstone. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ. This stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He believed in tithing. Did you know all through the Bible teaches tithing? You say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for the precious word of God. Tonight, this morning, Father, I pray that for a few moments, dear God, help me to be a blessing with just a few little thoughts about Bethel, house of God. Help us to love our Bethel, our house of God, and help us to love the Lord, El Bethel, the God of the house of God. And Father, we pray your blessings on each one today. Thank you for our missionary that's among us. Please help them as they serve you, Father. And bless them, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Now, as I try to see the whole picture of these verses, the chapter here and the chapter before, we got to understand what's going on here. And there's a twofold mission here that Jacob, we see Jacob leaving his mother, and he's fleeing. the reason he's fleeing because he stole the birthright of his brother Esau. When you study Genesis 27, 41 through 48, you'll find that Esau wanted to kill him. And he kind of made out like a three-shooter. Whoop, 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 whoop. He got out of there, amen? And he was, what you might say, Bird Jimmy, he was running for his life. Kind of like that quarterback did yesterday when Ohio State was chasing that quarterback down from, who did they play yesterday? Minnesota, yeah. That guy was running for his life, amen? Well, Jacob was running from Esau because he wanted to kill him. And boy, isn't it sad? Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of chili. Ain't no chili that good, amen? Here we see Jacob fleeing from his brother's anger, wrath. And then number two, we see him fleeing because he's trying to get a wife, from the family of his mother. So he wouldn't marry a Canaanite and break the heart of his mom and dad. By the way, God has a person for us to marry, and he doesn't want us to be unequally yoked with the unbelievers. We are not to marry unequally yoked. Don't ever even think about dating not a Christian. They're not Christian. There's no consideration. Amen? Now, I want you to note something in verse 12. Jacob has a dream. And in verse 12, you'll see he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Well, that's pretty good. That's a pretty big ladder, kids. I mean, from the earth all the way up to heaven, that's a long ladder. That's got a lot of rungs. Amen? But you see something even greater than that ladder? At the top of that ladder was the Lord. And the Lord speaks to him. Verses 13 through 15, God speaks to him, and what he really does, God confirms to him the Abrahamic covenant. And notice in verse 13, the Lord stood above it. I am the Lord, God of Abraham, father of the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, I will give it and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the south. And so we see that God, the same covenant that he gave to Abraham and Isaac, he passes on to Jacob. Amen? And we're excited about that, and it was fulfilled. God said, I'll do it, and he did. But you know, I noted also, we don't have that covenant, but we have another thing that God's given us. He's commissioned the church to carry out the gospel. Are you with me? He's commissioned us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. That's what he's challenged us with. Oh, he raised up the Jewish nation to have a people of his, they call his name, and they brought the Savior from that, and the Bible was written by the Jewish people. Are you with me? And then of course he opened up to the Gentiles. Thank God we've been grafted in. Amen. Amen. And so, but notice in verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep. You know, it's amazing. Seems like we're always sleeping. Some of you people come to church and you sleep. But sometimes I raise my voice like this and it wakes you up and you say, and, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. There's a thought there for you. I wonder how many times the Lord is with us, and we don't even know it. How many times you've been in places you say, man, I didn't sense God with me at all. Yeah, there's a song, he was there all the time. There's pictures called footprints in the sand, I think they call it. And he was there all the time. He's the one that carried you. You know, listen, Jacob thought he was all alone. Many times in our lives, we go through trials. We go through some tribulations. We go through some real hard hardships. And we think, man, God doesn't care. God's not around. How many of you ever felt that? God, if you cared, if you'd be here, this wouldn't happen. No, he cares. And he's there. You know, I was thinking about the Lord yesterday. Every night, I'd look up, when I was in Florida, every night, I'd look up into the sky and see all the canopy of heaven and all the wonderful stars. By the way, God made every one and named every one of them too, by the way. And Mildred, I thought, how great a God we really have. The firmament declared the handiwork of God. Amen. And Brother Kerry, for a person not to believe there's a God, they have to really resist the creation and the God conscious that we're born with, that God is that light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Are you with me? And Miss Myrtle, I thought, you know, there's a lot of things in life sometimes this preacher don't understand. I didn't understand why they went to Hammond. And that happened to Robin while she was at Hammond. I don't understand why some of you are going through some stuff. You know what, Brother Cooley, so his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And he's God. And Brother Kerry, no matter what comes into our life, God, and God knows what's good for our life, and he never makes a mistake. And I've got to trust. I've got to trust God. And then, listen, he's either God's God or God's not God. I look at my little granddaughter, Tippy Brooke, covered with all that psoriasis. Held her in my arms. We got some, while we were there, we went and got some, well, I think Rosie got right before we left, put some kind of cream from the Israel from it. And I buy stuff that they can soak in from Israel. And we put her on the ocean and the salt water burned her real bad, but yet it has a healing. And so we encourage her to stay in there. And I sometimes like, man, God, this isn't fair. We're serving you. He's God. Yeah. And through it all, Tippy Book will be even more special. I don't have to tell a lot of you folks. You have issues in your lives that you face yourself. Why does God do that? Sometimes I don't have the answer for all those things. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong unto God. Some things happen in our life that God won't tell us till we get to the other side. Karen says in Corinthians 13, says that we're looking through a glass. We don't see clearly through the glass yet. But Brian, we get to the other side, we'll understand it. But right now, you have to trust God. And either he's God or he's not God. If he's God, you gotta trust him. If he's God, you gotta depend on him. If you're God, if he's God, and he is, by the way, whether we believe it or not, if he's God, then we gotta believe that he knows what's best for our life. And that he makes no mistakes. And so what's ever going on with my granddaughter or anybody else, it's not a mistake. And by the way, don't take out of the equation. We live in a cursed world since Adam and Eve sinned. Death and sin and disease has fallen upon all men. So don't blame God for everything. We live in a cursed world. That's why people die. That's why people get sicknesses and diseases. Because the world's cursed. One day, you read Revelation 22, he's going to take the curse off. Hallelujah. That's going to be paradise. I was in Naples and I bought a couple of shirts and I think I bought a couple of towels even said Naples, paradise of Florida. And it really is. But you know what? As great a paradise it was, Miss Mert, there were still people in the hospitals there. There were still people dying there. You see, there's not going to be any paradise till Jesus comes. One day he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to step into that. And then Grandpa Lemley won't have to be sick anymore. Because there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. For the former things will pass away. Amen. Jacob realized many times in our lives we go through trials and tribulations and hardships and heartaches and sorrow. And don't realize God's right by our side. Every inch of the way. Well, I didn't even know you were there, God. Yeah, I was there. Sometimes in life we feel forsaken and forgotten. How many of you ever feel forsaken and forgotten? It's just human. You say, what's wrong with me, preacher? Am I, yeah, it's just human. We're frail. We're just dust. But don't be dismayed. Jesus is standing there. Amen. In the midst of it all, he's there. Look at verse 17. I'm gonna touch on this a little bit. Jacob was afraid. And he, look at verse 17. And he was afraid. How many see that? That's a godly fear. That was a good fear. We need to have some godly fear in our lives today. The greatest thing America could have would be some godly fear. People have no fear of God anymore. There needs to be a real holy fear of God today. And we don't have it in America. I'm going to read to you from, stay there, don't come. I'm coming right back to Genesis. But I'm going to read to you Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. I'm glad I'm going to a place that's set forever. Amen. Let us have grace, because that's what it takes to go on today, just grace. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And godly fear. Serve with godly fear. Paul said in the writer of Hebrews, I believe it was the Apostle Paul. You can disagree, but when we get to heaven, you'll find out I was right. For our God is a consuming fire. I'm going to tell you something. You know, they have a commercial, you don't mess with Mother Nature. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing to do with Mother Nature. You don't mess with God. Amen. Listen, the ungodly world doesn't fear a holy God because they don't see a holy fear in Christians' lives. Listen, they don't respect God's house because Christians don't respect God's house. There used to be a holy reverence for just the house of God. By the way, don't you think that those, your neighbors, every Sunday when you come to church, don't you know that they know that you're going to church? They watch your life. I guarantee you, when they see you pull out every Sunday, after Sunday, they say, those people must go to church. They go every Sunday morning somewhere. And if you're good Christians, you'll go give them a track and witness to them, and you'll tell them what church you do go to, and you invite them. Amen? Listen, the world don't respect God's word because Christians don't respect God's word. The world don't obey God's commandments because Christians don't obey God's commandments. The world doesn't fear the judgments of God because the Christians don't, they live a life, Carl, they don't fear the judgments of God. If the world doesn't see fear in the Christian for a holy God, why would they have any fear? The world doesn't respect God or the man of God because Christians don't fear God or respect the man of God. Hello? You know, I'm convinced that we need some old time Elijahs to raise up. We need some old time Elijahs and fire to come down from heaven. I think that's what we need some fire to fall down on churches today. We need the fire of God, the holiness and the empowerment, the anointing of God to fall on us and fire to fall to show fear for people to fear the holiness of God. Sin, people don't care about sin at all today. They sin without any fear at all. You know what? Christians used to have a fear. I'm not going to do that. The Lord wouldn't be pleased with that. Now we live like it doesn't matter. Hello? Verse 19. Jacob called the name of the place. Look at verse 19. He called the name of that place Bethel. Now Bethel means house of God. And today I just want to give you three little thoughts. There's a lot of them. But I'm going to give you three because it's 11:30. You don't have to creak your neck to look back where it's at. I'm going to give you three thoughts. By the way, this place, Bethel, is about 12 miles north of Jerusalem, the location. At least that's what we believe. Number one, everyone should have a Bethel. I believe everyone ought to have a house of God. I believe, listen, everyone needs a place to worship God. Are you with me? Everyone who is saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, should have their membership in a good fundamental Baptist church. God's people need to be in God's church. Boy, not many amens, but I'm telling you the truth. Bethel, the house of God, is a place where God's people can come and worship and praise and give to the Lord. And grow in grace. And by the way, if you're not in God's place, you're not in God's will. Jesus gave his life for the church. The church should be the way of life for every Christian. Jesus gave his life for the church. The church should be the way of life for the Christian. The Christian out of church is like a duck out of water. Stay with me. Just like it would be not natural for a real duck to never go to water. You know, ducks go to water. They go to water because they're a duck. It would be not natural for a duck not to go to water. So it's not natural for a real Christian not to go to church. How many Christians, people tell me they're Christians. Well, I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian. Well, I'm saved, but I don't go to any church. I don't know why. God commands us to go. Forsake not to assemble yourself. Hello? Brother Coolidge, God wants us in church. He's ordained us to be in church. You know, Christians need to, I think we take lightly the house of God. Brother Kerry, someday, as it gets worse and worse, they're going to close the churches down. Right before Jesus comes back, I guarantee you. And I don't think we're that far away from it. They're already putting guys in California in prison for preaching against queers same sex and men and men, women and women. They're already putting them in jail for that. Hello. I'm going to tell you, we're not far from it. You listen, this church ought to be a integral part of your life. Because that's how God meant it to be. By the way, you're important to this church. Every one of you are important to this church. But can I tell you something? This church is important to every one of your lives. It's not natural for a real Christian not to be in church. Huh. By the way, look what happens to Christians who get out of church. Real quickly, hold your hand there in Genesis 28, but look at Genesis 12. Look at Genesis chapter 12. I want to show you something. Talking about the house, Bethel, house of God today. And boy, I'm glad you're here. I witnessed to a guy down in Florida, Brian. I said, are you saved? He said, well, I'm a Catholic. I'm not knocking the Catholics. I don't care. We could have said a Baptist for that matter. He said, I don't go to church much. And, bought a gift from his gift shop store there, and it's a special item, and can't tell you what it is because it's a Christmas present for one of the kids, so I got to be quiet. Almost gave it out, and I witnessed his boy was down in South America. That's probably why I said South, and he was just filling in. He said, yeah, we've been here 22 years. I said, how old are you? I said, I'm 57, and he said. He said, I told him we were over there in Gulf Shore. And he said, I used to live right there over in Canyon, the next street up. And we'd go out talking to him. I said, by the way, are you saved? You know, what Christ, are you saved? He says, I don't go to church. And he said, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I gave him one of our gospel tracts and said, well, I said, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. But I didn't tell him because I wanted him to read the tract. But if you are a Christian, I know after I got saved, I wanted to be in church. And I worry about people that say they're saved and never go to church. Because the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ. God changed me. Listen, I know I came from the streets, but I'm going to tell you something. God changed me. He changed my life. By the way, the mafia was there when I came down. They took me right in, just like it was part of them. Amen. Kidding. I got to watch out. This goes all over the internet. They were there, though. Anyways, the first couple days we were there. Notice, I stay in good places. Amen. Notice, I had to pay, though. Notice, everything I do is upright. Notice, look at Genesis 12. I got to get off of Naples, and I got to get you back here. When you leave the house of God, and this is my thought, and I left it for a moment. I want you to look at verse 8 through 10 of Genesis 12. Remember, God calls Abraham out. He said, Abraham, make a great nation from you. By the way, Abraham didn't come out right away. If you study the chapter 11, you see he called earlier, and the Lord said again to him. But now notice in verse 8, he removed from thence unto a mountain. Are you with me in Genesis 12? How many are in Genesis 12? Unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. How many see that? He was there just like he got there before his grandson. Jacob was his grandson. Are you with me? He got there before his grandson did, which makes a lot of sense. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And having there, he built an altar unto the Lord and called it upon the name of the Lord. How many see that? At Bethel, at the house of God. Are you with me? Watch. Watch the next two verses. Abraham journeyed going still towards the south. South is down. Watch verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. Abraham went down. How many see that? When you leave Bethel, when you leave the house of God, you mark her down, you go down. And he went into Egypt. And when a Christian leaves the church, Brother Carey, he goes to Egypt. He goes to the world. Are you still with me? You better stay in Bethel. You better stay in church. You'll end up in Egypt. I guarantee you, you leave the church, you're going to go down. There's only one direction for Christians when they leave the church. It's down. I'm not done. I'll show you the other way. In Judges chapter 20, and I'll just read it, 20:18, the children of Israel arose and went up. I'm in Judges 20:18. The children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God. When he left the house of God, he went down. When he went to the house of God, he went up. So going to church takes you up. Leaving it makes you go down. Hello? How many can say amen? So a smart man would say, hey, I think God wants me to stay in church. And it's got to be the right church. Notice the second thing. Number two. We ought to pass down a good place of worship, the house of God, to the next generations that follow us. Brother Carey, this great truth and this great place that God's given us, we need to make sure we preserve it for your baby, for other generations to follow. We need to make sure we keep it intact and keep the truth and keep what God is pleased with in this house of God at Bethel, so the coming generation will still have the purity and the truth and what the holiness that God wants them to have. Listen, the world is trying to take away the house of God. They're trying to tear it down. There's demonic attacks, then there's liberal attacks, which I think are still demonic. The contemporary music, contemporary services, you can't believe how prevalent that is today. Unbelievable. You talk to missionaries, they'll tell you. These guys are up and down to the United States. They know, they see it, they gotta be terrified. I've had missionaries tell me, preacher, you don't wanna know what's out there, it'll scare you too much. False teachings, false preaching, false doctrines, and by the way, false Bibles. So if you ain't got a King James Bible, you ain't got the real Bible. God only wrote one Bible. When we were in Naples, we had a hard time finding a fundamental Baptist church. We got the phone book out. Went all through the phone book, made phone calls. Got on the internet. David had his little laptop. Got on the internet and looked up these gospel Baptists and all kinds of stuff, you know. And you know what was amazing? Some of them used the Bible but didn't believe it. Well, we believe it wasn't the original. I'm going to tell you, God's words was perfect. He preserves his word perfect. Brother Carey, when you read that Bible, you've got a perfect preserved copy of God's Word. Brother Bobby, you got the original in your hand. All the originals are gone. I've got a copy of the original. You say, boy, you believe that, preacher? I sure do. How could you believe? You think you have a great God? You don't have a God that couldn't preserve and record his Bible? Well, he couldn't do it because of man. I'm going to tell you, God's above man. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I had David, we couldn't find, Brother Kerry, we could not find a fundamental Baptist church. And so David started calling people. And we got this one church on the phone in Naples Baptist Temple out in Mockley Road, if I remember right, off of Mockley. And I said, David, ask them what Bible they use. And they said, David said, my dad wants to know what Bible you use. And the guy said to him, there's only one Bible. God only wrote one, the King James Bible. I said, get that man's address and get his and time to go. We'll be there. And Carl, we got there. There might have been 50 people there. Might have. The week before it showed 30. 50 people in a metropolitan of multi-thousands, Brother Kerry. 50. But I'm going to tell you. And the preacher, Brother McGowan, I.E. McGowan, 74 years old. Amen. And he stood up. And he let it fly. And David and I just kept saying, amen, amen, amen. I said, help yourself, fella. And he went out and he said, there are, he was a tall fella, kind of looked something like Dr. L. Lacey. He got so excited preaching, Gary, I'm not making this up. He got, I was amen, yep, yahoo. Yeah. Man, those people said, we never heard it on that fashion. 74 years old, he got so excited, he jumped up on the front chair in the front row and preached off the chair for the rest of the service. Amen.
Yes,
sir. He said, people don't want to hang on this old Bible. He said, men I used to preach for won't let me preach for them no more. But he said, I'm sticking with the old book. He preached that Hosea that day. He did, as a matter of fact, Sunday morning and Sunday night he preached that Hosea. He did tremendous. And I grabbed him after church and I said, preacher, you were a blessing. And I'm glad you staying with the stuff. 74 years old, he was still winging it. Can I tell you something? If I get to live to be 74, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to still be slinging it. Amen. And I tell you, the people said, he said, man, you were such a blessing. And people were hugging us. And saying, oh, we're so cool. You guys, you did so much for our church. I said, hey, no, you did so much for me. It's just great to see a church that's still holding to the truth, that's still hanging on. That still not give in to all the pressures of the liberal and the demons and false doctrines. Still staying with the stuff. By the way, no way. Get over, move over. None of that stuff in church. You're in a fundamental church. You say, you shouldn't do that, preacher. Well, they shouldn't do that either. We gotta teach people and I love these kids. If preacher didn't care about you, he wouldn't say that. You got a preacher that cares about you. I didn't catch you sooner. I caught you now, though. Next time I come down after you. Now listen to me. I'll tell you how great it was, Brother Kerry. Lukey went to Super Church, I guess it was called Super. They had I think Tiffy said there was 7 or 9. And afterwards, Ruth, all the time we were there, I thought, oh, he's going to take some people out. Because all that week, me and David were letting him shoot rights in. You know, he's got a phenomenal right, I'm telling you. I'm not making it up. Do not get in front of his right. I know he's 3 years old, but I'm telling you, he put a bruise in my rib the other day. I still carry a shot. That was a knee shot, though. But then a punch. And we got, and all the time, I guys said, now we're going to find out what he did during church, you know, in Super Church. How many kids did he eliminate in the nursery and stuff like that? You better not get, I'll tell you right now. And the lady come out. The lady came out and she said, oh, your kids were tremendous. I said, yeah. Yeah, then we got good kids. And I said, Lukey, for, we were walking out of church. I said, Lukey, for being a good boy, I'm going to give you $1. He didn't say nothing. Okay, Grandpa. And I forgot about, we went more, you know, than went to the day. And the next day we're doing something and Lukey, he grabs home. He said, hey, we were talking about how great it was that they were in church and how much we enjoyed it. And he said, yeah, Grandpa, you owe me $1. 3 years old. So Jack, I go out that day and I buy him some shirts. It's got Naples on and everything. And I put, he's wearing, I said, look at Grandpa got you. And he said, yeah, I like it, Grandpa. Thank you. I said, where's that dollar? He said, why? I said, I want you to pay for that shirt. He said, no, here's a shirt back. I tell you, we're raising good kids. They know the value of a buck, amen? I'm going to tell you right now, we need to hold on to the truth. We don't have time, but I could tell you story after story. Oh, yeah. By the way, little boys don't, his girlfriend here is Sydney. He took Sydney's picture with him to Florida. I'm going to tell you, anybody who goes up to Sydney during nursery, they better watch out because Lukey's there. They probably won't get out without the same way they came in. Lukey is definitely a watch guard or something like that. But he did good. We had a great time. But what was great is what they held on to the Word of God. You don't have to be a big church to hold on to the Word of God. Matter of fact, as the days get more, I think you're small. The real churches are probably going to dwindle down in size because people won't stay with the truth. They'd rather have a lie than the truth. But you know, at this house of God, Mac, let's just stay with the truth. At Bethel, let's just stay with the truth. Amen, Joe? Let's just keep the good stuff. And then I just wanted to tell you that if you don't be careful and hold on to the truth and pass it down, your Bethel, your house of God will be taken over by the world. That's why I fight it. You say, why does that preacher preach so hard against sin and stuff? It's because you can't let it come in. And we don't have time. In 2 Kings 12, Jeroboam, he was the guy that let it come in. Matter of fact, he built altars in Bethel and Dan and tried to split the people. He put golden calves and false worship, false priests, and he tore the whole place up because he let false teachings come in, false idols, false worship. Are you with me? Thank God the Bible says in 1 Kings 13:1 that God sent a man. God always has a man, doesn't he? He sends a prophet every time to speak for him. When you get to 2 Kings 23:19, we don't have time. You'll see that Josiah, he pulled down all those altars of Baal and all the false worship. Thank God he restored Bethel. We just got to make sure that we don't let our Bethel get tore down. We got to make sure that we don't let nothing tear down the house of God. Brother Carey, the Bible says we need to contend for the faith. Don't ever get tired of contending of the faith. Because Eddie, it's something you're going to have to do till the day we die. Because we're always going to be challenged. And lastly, by the way, here's a question is, do you need to tear down some false altars in your life today? Some of you might have some false altars, false worship that you're doing. Maybe you're worshiping a TV or maybe you're worshiping some things that you ought not have. It's tearing your life down. Watch out. Amen. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a TV. I watch football games. But I'm saying, do you make a God out of your TV? Do you make a God out of your car? Do you make a God out of your house? It could be anything. We ought to give all our love and devotion to our Lord. Amen. Then lastly, number three, we need a place, the house of God, to help us seek God's will for our life. in Judges chapter 20, verse 18, I read it earlier, they went up to the house of God to ask counsel of God. Judges 20, 18. Not only do we pray in church, sing in church, the house of God, but we also preach in church. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When we listen, God's word directs our path and instructs our life if we'll listen and we'll obey. There's a song we sing with the kids. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Lastly, let me show you this. The last thought here. I'm still in verse 3, number 3. The house of God, seeking God's will. In God's house, we need the oil of God at Bethel. Look at Genesis 28, one last verse with me. Genesis 28. No, I want to show you something I thought was kind of precious. Might not mean nothing to you, but I thought it was good. Missionary might like this. I don't know. We need the oil of God at Bethel. Notice in chapter 28, and look at verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning. And notice he took what? The stone. Who's our stone? Who's our rock? Jesus. That he had put forth for his pillows and set up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it. Are you with me? He poured oil on top of the rock. He poured oil on top of the stone. See? Miss D, I believe every house of God has to have Jesus, number one, and number two, it needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit on it. The house of God needs Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And notice, I'm closing with this. Jacob came back to Bethel. And I'm going to read to you Genesis 35:1. 35:1, and I am closing. I know you're thinking, can that be possible? And God said to Jacob, arise. I'm in 35:1. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Dwell there. Dwell at the house of God. Take some time for the house of God. Make the house of God part of your life. Let the house of God influence your life. Let the house of God have an effect on your life. You know, listen, just don't show up to church. Let church have an effect on your life. Let God's word speak to you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to the word thereto. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Follow my steps by thy word. Thy word is a light unto them that walk with it. Amen. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there, make there an altar unto God. Appear thee when thou fleddest from face of Esau. Go back where you came from. Go back where you started from. Go back at that altar. Get back to Bethel. Get back to the house of God. Oh, that's what we need in our life. We need to get back to the things that we know that God was pleased with. Some of us, we stray from what we know. We got things in our life that we know that God's not pleased with, and we stray from God. Listen, we need to go back to the place where God is pleased with. We need to go back to the Bethel. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the place of God where you meet with God. Are you with me? Oh, I'm going to give you one little, I thought was kind of cute. I like it. Verse 6 and 7 of that chapter. So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Cana, that is Bethel. Bethel means house of God, right? Watch this, Brian. I like it. It's one of mine. Didn't read it in the book. Probably not enough specter, but I liked it. He and all the people that were with him, And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. Now, El means God. Are you with me? So God, are you with me? The place of God. God's place of God. Are you with me? God's place, the house of, are you with me? Hello? Watch. Means the God of, El Bethel means the God of Bethel. Now watch. Because there, God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And I want to close with this thought. Get this. And I'm all done. Every true house of God will have all the fullness of God. Should have. Watch this. In Genesis 35, he calls it El Bethel. Are you with me? El, God, the Father. So you got God the Father in El Bethel. At Bethel, you had this, the rock, Jesus the Son. You had the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. You've got the whole Trinity in all the fullness of God. Can anyone say amen? And lastly, in verse 10, I'm trying. Next thing, I got verse 11 here too. Gotta quit, preacher. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. The house of God is where we hear about the Savior. We get our new name from the Savior, the Rock. Amen. The new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Verse 11, I'm just closing it out. God, after God changed Jacob's name to Israel. By the way, did he change your name? You got a new name after you got saved? After God changed Jacob's name to Israel, he got a new name and he was told to be fruitful and multiply. Verse 11. After we get saved, Brother Kerry, we're told to be fruitful and multiply. Amen? We're told to be fruitful. Are you? Are you at Bethel now? I'm not talking about 745 North Freedom. Are you really with the Lord right now at the house of God? Or do you need to come back? You know, there's some things that in your life that you know that you've strayed away and maybe just need to come back to Bethel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this little Bible study and truth and preaching. Pray that we could remember these biblical truths. Pray that it could be a blessing in the future as we walk with you. Help us to know you and to love you and to serve you with all our heart and soul. And Lord, if there be anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, pray today they'll realize that Christ Jesus loves them and died for them and arose. And the only way to get to heaven, the only way to get up to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he must enter by me. I wonder with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, first of all, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure. There was a day I saw myself a lost sinner and I asked Christ to save my soul. And I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put him down. How many be honest with themselves and honest with God and say, preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I won't come to you, but I will pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I would pray. Just raise your hand and say, pastor, would you pray for me? Dr. Skyver, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Won't embarrass you, won't come to you, but I will pray for you. Anyone like that, just raise your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell, especially after Jesus did all he did to save me from hell. Suffered and died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, gave his life, shed his blood. Life of the flesh is in the blood. He gave his life, he shed his blood, so you and I could have eternal life. He rose the third day. He's in heaven. He's looking down. He wants you to look up and receive him today with your heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's more than being a church member. It's more than being baptized or taking Holy Communion, Lord's Supper. It's all... None of that gets you into heaven. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You want to be saved, you got to trust Christ as your Savior. You got to invite him into your heart like you would your house. He's knocking at the door. You got to say, Jesus, come in. Come into my heart. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved, but I need to get back to Bethel. I've strayed away from the Lord. I got some things in my life that God's not pleased with, and I need to get back where God's pleased. Pray for me. You'd say that. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Yes, yes, God bless you. God bless your heart. Yes. It's easy, by the way. It's hard. It's hard to stay at Bethel. It's easy to get away from the things that God's pleased with. We live in a tough old world. It takes commitment and fortitude and just perseverance. I remember the old preacher talk last week. It takes perseverance to stay with the stuff. Not going to give up. Not going to quit. Not going to throw the towel in. That's what the old time saints had. We need that today too. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. I believe I preached what you put in my heart. And I pray that you'll bless and anoint all that we said. Pray it be meaningful to every hearer. Pray that you'd encourage those that are having some struggles in their life. Give them victory and get them back to Bethel. May they know the pleasures and the pleasing smile of God upon them being at Bethel. And then, Lord, if there's any here that doesn't know you as Savior, let them see that salvation's of God. That it's nothing to play around with, that it's real. That when a person dies, they either go to heaven or hell. That salvation has to be, it's a preparation before they die. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. And Lord, I pray they'll make preparations before it's too late, because life is but a vapor. We know not when a man will die or a lady. Pray that they would get saved before it's everlasting too late. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Dave? 401.